Hello everyone, welcome to the Pericaleo Podcast. I'm your host, Ashton Wright. I want you to know that I am so thankful that you are with us today. I hope this episode encourages, comforts, and empowers you to live your life for the glory of God. We are going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 3, and just wanted to share with you a couple biblical principles when it comes to prayer. And I preached this sermon on a Wednesday night in my student ministry, and I just think that these three points here are very applicable and very much needed in our time of, you know, where we are in our society and our culture, where, you know, I don't think that prayer is a priority as it should be. And so we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. I'm going to read it in case you're not able to, but if you do have your Bible, I encourage you to read along with me. And there's three things, three principles for powerful praying. That's the title for today, is three principles for powerful praying. And so let's read this together. Ephesians is such a great book, and you know, I've heard it referenced to as a Bible bank for all believers. I mean, it's just rich and full of great biblical principles and doctrine, but also practical Christian living. And essentially, Ephesians is broke up into two parts. You have the first three parts are doctrine. It's what we need to know. And Paul wrote this letter, you know, to the church of Ephesus, but also for it to be a circular letter, for it to not just go to Ephesus, but for it to go all throughout all the churches. And so first it was to the church of Ephesus, but it was supposed to continue on. And so he divides up a lot of his epistles are that way. The first few chapters are doctrine. They're what we need to know in order to live the Christian life. And then Ephesians specifically, chapters 4, 5, and 6, it breaks up into how we live out doctrine, how we should live as Christians. So not just what we need to know, but how we should live. And both are very crucial, right? Just to live a certain way, trying to live a good lifestyle, means nothing if you don't have the right motive. But knowing a lot of things about God doesn't mean anything unless it changes our lives, right? So they both are equally important. And so in the beginning of chapter 3, Paul begins to pray for the church at Ephesus. He's kind of wrapping up the part of what we need to know as Christians. And in verse 1, he puts, "For this reason," of chapter 3, verse 1, he puts, "For this reason, I, Paul." And then he kind of digresses and he starts teaching the church at Ephesus one last time about how great the gospel is and what it means that all have the ability and the opportunity to be adopted into the family of God, not just the Jews, but also all the Gentiles. So all people have access to being saved and forgiven of their sin. And while he kind of makes that digression, he comes back in verse 14, and that's where we're going to pick up, is Paul is in a prayer for the church of Ephesus. And he says, in verse 14 of chapter 3, he says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father." So obviously this is Paul praying. In verse 15, he says, "From whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, so that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So I want to share with you three principles for powerful praying. I mean, I don't know about you, but we see from the Apostle Paul's prayer life here, what a man of prayer. And I think about people that God has used over the years that, you know, they were men of prayer. I think of Charles Spurgeon. I think of Martin Luther. I think of these men that, and so on and so forth. We could list a million. David Brainerd, so on and so forth. They would wake up early in the morning and pray for hours. And God used that. Their dependency upon the Lord through prayer. And I think we all desire to pray powerfully. We desire to pray prayers that are powerful, and to make prayer a priority. But the fact of the matter is a lot of times we want to take matters into our own hands, and so we neglect the discipline of prayer. And so how can we have powerful prayers? How can we make prayer a priority in our life? Well, the first thing is our approach. The approach of prayer. And I have three things for you, but the first one is the approach of prayer. Look at verse 14 again. He says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father." This is Paul's way of saying, essentially, that his approach is humility. And back in Jewish culture, really, even back then, especially, men did not bow to pray. I mean, even if you see now, at the Wailing Wall, In Judaism, they don't bow to pray. And so for Paul to say, in this culture specifically, for Paul to say, "I bow my knees," it's his way of saying, I don't care what anyone thinks. I'm bowing before God. There's this sense of humility and this sense of coming before God in raw authenticity and humility, recognizing, like verse 15, look what it says, "from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named." And you see this humility to recognize who God is. I think a lot of times we approach God very flippantly, and I do this as well. We approach God very irreverently, that God is just, you've heard people say things like this: "I talked to the man upstairs." Or we think God is like this white-bearded grandpa upstairs that we talk to when we need help. And of course, there's nothing wrong with crying out to God when we need help, but I think it's our approach that matters when we pray. To recognize that we're praying to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that we're praying to the God of creation, that we're praying to the God that sustains all things, the one and true living God. Isaiah 6 tells us what the throne of God is like, that the angels can't even look upon him because he's so holy. He's so pure, and the Bible describes God as light, and in him there is no darkness at all, that man can't even look in the face of God and live. I mean, there's so many scriptures that describe what it's like to be in the presence of Almighty God, and I think many times we don't think about that. And so when we do view God for who he is, it changes our approach. When we approach God in humility, and we approach God and being reminded of who he is, it changes the way that we pray. And I think about this often. When I spend time adoring God and praising God for who he is and what he's done, it changes my approach. Now God's not this genie that I try to twist and make him do things. Now I come to him humbly like a child, bowing at his feet. And the Bible does tell us that we need to come boldly. But boldly doesn't mean arrogantly. Boldly doesn't mean pridefully. We come with boldness because we recognize that God has adopted us into his family, that Jesus is our mediator. He has made us right with God. So we come humbly. Nothing that we've done, nothing that we don't deserve to come to God. We don't deserve to have communion and relationship with God. We come and our approach is one of humility. And so it's not just our approach, but it's the aims, right? It's the aims of prayer that matter. If you look at verses 16 through 19, Paul, listen to the things that Paul prays for: "that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Here we kind of understand the aims of prayer. Number one, Paul says that you would have the strength to comprehend the breadth and the length and the height and the depth and the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. The first aim of prayer, and I have two of them here, the first aim of prayer is to know God. We know God deeper through prayer as we reflect on his character, and it leads to praising him. It reminds us of how great and glorious God is. when we are reminded of when we know God deeper, right? That's the aim of prayer, is to know the will of God, to know His desires, to know His heart. And of course, we know that through His Word, but we also know that through prayer. That when we seek God and we say, Lord, I want You to do whatever it is that You want to do in my life. I come to You and I bow in submission. I bow to You. I want to know You deeper. I want to know Your heart. I want to know Your desire for others and Your love for others, and know Your grace and Your mercy deeper. And when we seek to know God deeper, it changes our whole mindset. But secondly, Paul mentions that we would be strengthened, we'd be rooted and grounded in love. So it's not just to know God, right? To know His will, to know Him deeper. But it's also to honor God, right? So it's not this, well, we want to come to God like He's a pinata and we're just going to try to get goodies out of Him, or we're going to try to twist God like He's a slot machine and we want to get things from Him, or, you know, we're going to, like God's silly putty, we're going to twist Him and make Him into who we want Him to be. No, we come and we say, God, I ask that I'd know You deeper and that You would change me. And through that, God, that I would honor You with my life. It's all about us becoming more like Christ, if you've noticed. That Paul's prayer is for others to become more like Christ, to know Him deeper, and to honor Him. And that's what we pray. We pray, God, I want to know You. I want to know Your love deeper. I want to know Your mercy and Your grace. But I also want to live out as I know You deeper. When I know You deeper, I want to live those things out. And lastly, we're going to talk about the attitude of prayer. So we talked about the approach of prayer, the aims of prayer, but let's talk about the attitude of prayer. And I love this. Look at verse 20. It says, "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think." I mean, think about that. Such confidence. A lot of times, I'm guilty of this. We pray doubting. James tells us, you don't have because you don't ask. And whenever you do ask, you don't pray with faith. You don't pray believing that God can do anything that He wants to do. And for us to just think about that for a moment, I saw a quote by Dr. Tony Evans who said, "Everything seems impossible until you pray. Everything seems impossible until you pray." I think that we need to start having that mindset, the mindset that God can do anything. That we pray with absolute faith and confidence, like the Apostle Paul, "To Him is who able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think." You can't even imagine the things that God can do. And, you know, we may pray, "God, I ask that You would do this one thing." God's going to do far more abundantly than you even ask or think, according to His will. And so I think that those three principles are so important for our prayer life, to approach God humbly and boldly, but make sure it's in humility, right? That the aims of our prayers should be to know God and to honor God. And lastly, the attitude of our prayer is an attitude of confidence, an attitude of absolute faith that God can do anything. That yes, the doctors may say it's impossible for your family member to live another month or two or whatever, but to pray with such confidence that God can do anything, God can heal anybody. That person that you're saying, well, they'll never be saved. Pray with such confidence that God can save anybody. And so when we apply those principles, I think God's really, God, I believe that God will do incredible things through our prayer life. And then I just want to share with you 2 points of application, then we're going to be finished. The first thing is, make prayer a priority. You know, a lot of times we say, well, I just don't have time. And I disagree with that. For us to sit back and say we don't have time, we make time for things that matter to us. You'll make time for your favorite sports team. You'll make time for your favorite TV show. You'll make time for your friends, for the gym, for your hobbies. We make time when we want to. We make things a priority when we want to. So I encourage you to, let's not make excuses, let's make prayer a priority. You and I both, we'll make that commitment together. And so how can we make prayer a priority? I would say start by having a consistent prayer time throughout the day. You know, even if it's in the morning or the evening or the afternoon or throughout the day, find a consistent pattern of prayer. And ways you can do that is through a prayer journal. Write out your prayers. You can look back and see God's faithfulness. 7-Up. This is something I learned from Robbie Gallaty. The first 7 minutes that you wake up in the morning, commit it to prayer. The first 7 minutes. Maybe you could even have a prayer partner, somebody you share prayer requests with, you pray, you keep each other accountable. And lastly, this application point is something more immediate. I want to encourage you to right now, if you're driving, of course, you know, don't close your eyes, but pray for something right now. Call out to the Lord right now. Maybe it's a lost person, an unbeliever. Maybe it's, you know, your students are listening to this, or college students, and you're going through difficulties in school. Pray for your family, a difficult situation, for our country, for our leaders. There's always something to pray for, always. And so I encourage you right now, cry out to the Lord. Spend some time praying right now. And remember these principles as you do so. Thank you for listening today. If this episode exhorted, comforted, or encouraged you, please share it with others. I can't wait to be with you again soon. Be blessed, my friends.